Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Boy, what a challenge right there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, please, dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts. And I pray that for, Lord, for many in this day and age, and maybe even for some here, church attendance is more about convenience than conviction. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we look at the Bible, you would help us to form a Bible conviction concerning church attendance. Lord, those of us that already have, may it just be shored up. Young people, Lord, that maybe have not settled this, Lord, I pray, dear God, that today they would walk out of the church house saying, you know what, for the rest of my life, all my life, as God gives me strength and health, on the Lord's day, I'm going to be in the Lord's house. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to settle these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had Brother Reiser bring in a stool, and this is the stool that he used last night, and I didn't set it out earlier because I was afraid some of you would leave, afraid that maybe he was going to come back and perform once again. But we did have a good time at our Time to Laugh activity last night, and God met with us, and then he quickly saw what was going on and left. But we had a good time. And I was looking at the stool before the thing started last night, and I was reminded about what a preacher taught me one time, and I thought it was such a good illustration. I'm going to bring it to you today. But you know, if you want to have a balanced life and a solid balanced life, and you want to keep from falling, then you want to be sure that you rest it upon something that has a proper foundation. I believe that there ought to be four things that hold you up throughout your Christian life. Watch this real quick. Settle this matter, and we're going to try to get you to do it this morning. Settle this matter on church attendance. And by the way, when I get done listening to these four things, I dare you to stand up and tell me anybody that consistently did these four things that are now not in church, out of the ministry, or out of God's will, or out of God's work. If you'll settle these four things, if you'll just get them settled in your heart, you know what? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, you'll still be doing what you ought to be doing, and you'll be going to church where you ought to be going to church. Just settle this matter of church attendance, all right? Number two, you just settle this matter that you're going to spend some time every day in this book right here. Just settle get a relationship with the Bible. All right, so if you'll come to church, and then every day of your life, you'll decide, I'm going to make the Bible a part of my life. You know what? You're probably going to be all right. You're not going to fall over. How about this matter of prayer? Say, preacher, these are the basics. The basics is what gives us a foundation and holds us up, all right? And so if you'll attend church and you'll read your Bible and you'll decide that you're going to communicate back to God, God through his word communicates to us. We through prayer communicate back to God. And that's our way of asking. By the way, it's our way of praising him. It's our way of honoring him. It's our way of worshiping him. And it's our way of getting the things and asking for the things that we need in our life. And by the way, it takes humility to pray. You know, people that don't pray are sending a prayer. They're sending a message to God, and this is what it is. I can do this. I don't need you today. Let me say this. You do need him every day of your life, whether you realize it or not. You need God. And so these aren't complicated things, but you know what? They're important things. And then the last one is this. Just make evangelism a part of your life. Be involved in getting the gospel to lost people in some way through some ministry of your church and also in your personal life as you identify the different mission fields that you have. By the way, your neighborhood is a mission field. And your workplace is a mission field. And this community is a mission field. And your family is a mission field. And you identify those different mission fields and say, Lord, as you give me opportunity, I'm going to go prepared. I'm going to carry the Word of God with me in a form of gospel tracts. I'm going to have my testimony ready on my lips to share my faith in Christ as you open the door. If you'll just consistently keep those four things, what are they again? Church attendance, Bible, reading the Bible, praying every day, and you know what? Just being always ready and having a tender heart towards lost people and deliver them. I'm telling you what, that will hold up a life right there. That'll hold up a life. Now, you take one of those out from underneath me right now, and even if you try to do the other three for a while, if you take one of those out, all of a sudden, you're not on a real secure platform anymore. You take two of them out, and you know what? You're going to fall flat. You take all of them out, and you may never get back up. Now, folks, listen to me. We need to just settle some things and have some Bible convictions about some things and stop operating in convenience and start operating on conviction and saying, hey, there's some things I will do because I've developed a Bible conviction about them that it's important to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about making church attendance a Bible conviction. Now, I'm preaching to people that are in church. Good. Good. We need to hear this. Say, preacher, I settled this a long time ago. I've been faithful to church for 20 years. Hey, I can take you right now, put you in a car and drive you to homes where people are not in church that at one time was in church for 20 years. What began to happen in their life? Church attendance at some point shifted from being a conviction to a convenience, and now they're outside of the church house. I think that we ought to just go to the Word of God and nail this down and just settle it forever before the throne of grace and say, this one thing I do, you know what? The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and you know what? On the Lord's Day, we get God's Word, and we get in our car, and we drive to the church house, and we walk in the door, and we sit down in church because the Bible says that we are supposed to do that. Say, preacher, give me some Bible reasons, all right? Number one, why do you go to church? Why is church attendance so important? Number one, I want to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to God. We see in Hebrews 10, verse number 25, a direct command from God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You say, preacher, I can worship God anyway. Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The word church means called out assembly. This is where the church assembles. And well, I can go out in the woods. Yeah, how many times have I heard this as I'm going door to door? I can worship God out in the woods just as well as I can in the church. I can go out and sit by the river and the lake, and I can throw a fishing line in there on a Sunday morning, and I can worship the Lord there. And you know what I always tell people? You know what I always tell people that tell me that? I say, you know what? You go out there on Sunday morning, and you throw your fishing line in, and then you open a conversation with the Lord, and you know what the first thing he's going to say to you? What are you doing here, backslider? Why are you not obeying my word? Why have you forsaken the assembling of yourselves together? How presumptuous of you to think that you can, in disobedience, have a conversation with me. All you're going to receive on the riverbank or in the tree stand on a Sunday morning is conviction from God, not conversation with God. Now, the honest truth is, folks, God's commanded us in the Bible to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You say, Jesus, or brother Jerry, can a person be a Christian and not attend church? Can they be saved and not attend church? Well, I guess you could. It'd be like claiming to be a student without going to school, or claiming to be a football player without a team, or claiming to be a tuba player only you forgot your orchestra, or being a citizen without a country, or a boy scout without a troop, or a soldier without his unit, or a bee without a hive. But I'm going to tell you this, you can claim to be those things, but the honest truth is, yes, you can be a saved person and not attend church, because salvation is by grace, not by works. You can be a saved person and not attend church, but it is impossible to be an obedient Christian and not attend the church house. Number two, why do you go to church, preacher? I want to be an encouragement to the brethren. I want to be an encouragement to the brethren. Now, if you look at the portion of scripture that we just read back up in verse number 24 there, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. An important part of church, folks, yes, I will tell you this, and I believe it, and we're going to get to this. I think the most important part of church is the preaching of God's word. But you know what? If that was the only part of church, then you could just turn on the radio and listen to the preaching of God's word and say, there, I got it. But there's a lot of things that come with just assembling together. And one of them is this: we are able to fulfill our Bible responsibilities one to each other when we assemble together. The Bible says, let us consider one another. You know what that means? We're supposed to kind of keep an eye on each other. We're supposed to look around and maybe find the brother or sister that's going through a tough time and be there for them. Go to that one that you know is facing a trial in life, being an encouragement to them. Go to that one that maybe the honest truth is they are getting a little bit of cold and they're starting to hit and miss, and exhort them a little bit and encourage them a little bit. I mean, listen, we're supposed to be here for each other. And so the Bible says that part of our responsibility is to assemble together so that we can receive encouragement by simply spending time with the family of God. Now, I want you to feel that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And by the way, I want you to participate in that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Say, preacher, I come in here and it doesn't seem like people take a big interest in me. Let me just ask you a fair question, a very fair question. How much interest have you taken in other people? The Bible says this: he that hath friends must show himself. And a lot of times we sit down, come in church and sit down and say, okay, everybody needs to obey the Bible and come and encourage me. Well, why don't you come in and obey the Bible and encourage others? And you know what you're going to find out? You get as much out of church as you're willing to put into it. And if you come in and you get around and you shake people's hands, say, preacher, I've been coming for a while and there's some people I still don't know their name. Well, you know what you do? You walk up and say, hey, I've been coming for a while and guess what? I still don't know your name. Can I ask you what your name is? That's all right. That's okay. And then learn a name. Learn somebody's name. Every week, go meet a new person that you've never met before until you get everybody kind of figured out. And then good luck on trying to figure out who's related to who and who's a part of what and where they, you know, I mean, you can be here for years. I still don't even know who everybody's related to here. I know there's some people that come to this church that claim that they're related to every other person in the church. And of course, you know, being from Greene County, Indiana, our family trees look like telephone poles. And so it's very possible that that might be true for a few of you in this room. But hey, I want you to feel like this is family time. You know what I think about when I think about church, Brother Callahan? I think family reunion. That's what I think. I just get excited when Sunday comes. If you show up a little bit early, you know what you'll find me a lot of times doing? Just at the back door, just pacing. I'm just pacing. I get moving through the church and I walk through the church and I just, you know what? It's getting close to the time. People are going to start coming. I get to see Brother so-and-so. I get to check on to see how his wife and children are doing. And hey, this brother's going, I can't wait to find out what's going on. And hey, so-and-so called with that prayer request a couple weeks ago. I wonder what's going on with them. And hey, I just, you know what it is? You just catch up with family. And so folks, listen to me. You need that. My dad used to tell an illustration. I think a lot of the older preachers told this illustration. I love it. But there was a story of a preacher that went to see one of the members of the church that had started to miss church pretty regularly. And he went to see that man in the winter months, and he was invited in and sat down with this man in front of an old-fashioned hearth, old-fashioned fireplace. And the man began to start going through all of the reasons why he didn't really feel like that church attendance was all that important and why he could just come occasionally and that was okay with the Lord. And the preacher just kind of listened to him and nodded every once in a while. Finally, he reached over and got a poker, and he reached down into the middle of all of those hot, blazing coals. And he fished out one of the hottest ones, one of the whitest ones, one of the most active ones. And he took it and he pushed it off over here onto the stone side away from the rest of them. And he put the poker back and he just looked over at the man and continued to listen. The man continued to try from that point on to give reasons why he didn't really need to be assembled with the rest of the members. But every time he'd start to give a reason, he'd look over to that coal, and that coal that was white, hot, and on fire all of a sudden began to change color and lose its heat. And all of a sudden, you know what? It wasn't, watch this, it wasn't, in a very short time, it wasn't what it used to be. And the preacher said, the man finally looked at the preacher and just said, okay, preacher, I got it. And the preacher took that poker and pushed him back over into the middle of that fire. And you know what? It wasn't but just a few minutes. And there that coal was back white hot again. Listen, folks, I don't care who has tried to come to you and convince you the church isn't important. That person's a liar and they do not understand the Bible. And they're backslidden and they're trying to get you to backslide. Every single one of us need to obey the Bible, and we have a responsibility to other church members, our church family, to be here to exhort and provoke one another to love. Number three, preacher, why do you make church a Bible conviction? Number three, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I'll read the verse to you in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and he, speaking of Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus had a habit of life. You know what? On the day set aside in the Jewish realm, on the day set aside to worship the Lord, in the building set aside to worship the Lord, guess where Jesus was? Guess what his custom was? His custom was to be in the Lord's house. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. If you don't attend church on a regular basis, faithfully attend church, then don't claim Christ's likeness. Matter of fact, we could rightfully deny you the title of a Christian. Now you may be saved, but you're not a Christian if you are not faithful to church, because the word Christian in its purest form means like Jesus or Christ-like. And so you know what? I want to be like Jesus. Hey, that's what this whole thing's about. We don't bring you here to encourage you to be like Jerry Ross. We don't bring you here to point you to any man here on this earth. We bring you here to lift up Jesus Christ and say, hey, let's all try to be like him. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then you know what? We need to have a custom of life, a habit of life to be in the church house. Number four, another reason, another Bible reason that church attendance ought to be a Bible conviction. Number four, I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. You say, preacher, well, why don't you get the calendar out and mark when those services are, and I'll be sure and be here for those services. But the problem is, we just never know. And by the way, what might be a life-changing service for me may not be for you. And some other time you may show up and you know what? God may just absolutely give you something that's gonna transform you and help you in a way you've never seen, something you've never seen before. And you know, we never know when those are. Now, let me just say this quickly. I don't think any service is wasted. I think we're helped more than we know when we go to what I call an ordinary service. You know what produces, watch this, I'm going to give you this. You know what produces extraordinary Christians? A whole lot of very ordinary services produces extraordinary Christians. Because see, folks, we get a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. I've said this before about Sunday school. I'm going to tell you something. Sunday school to me has become underrated. And I think when we get to eternity, we may figure out then in the presence of God what an important hour that was. Because you think about in the history, we're going near this May, celebrating our 41st year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You think of 41 years of Sunday school. You think of those of you that are adults that grew up, and I mean, you went all the way through the ranks and you sat under all of the teachers and you had the Word of God taught at your level, and there's no way to measure how much you know and how much you've been helped and how much you've been changed and transformed just by faithfully sitting under the teaching of God's Word. Now, it may not have been a wow service. It's just line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, when you're building a wall, you're building a home, just a brick and then a little more mortar and a brick, a little more mortar. But you know what? A whole bunch of seemingly very ordinary services produce some pretty extraordinary Christians. But let me say this. A handful of times of your life, you're going to come to a service and man, God is just going to absolutely change your life. And you know what? I want to be there at that service. I'm glad my dad didn't decide not to go the night the preaching service, the night that the preaching service happened where God called me to preach. I'm glad dad didn't just say to our family, you know what? I know we usually go to everything, but let's just stay home tonight. I'm glad God made sure through my dad and mom that I was there to hear that. I didn't go there thinking it was going to be an extraordinary life-changing service, but guess what? It was in my life. I'd be afraid. Come on, parents, I'm going to help you here if you'll let me help you here. You need to get your kids in church. You need to keep them in church. These extraordinary services don't only happen just on Sunday mornings. A lot of times they happen on a Sunday night. A lot of times they happen on a Wednesday night. A lot of times they happen on a revival night. We kind of got this idea that, well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say how many times. I know it says this much more as the day approaches. I don't think as close as we are to the rapture that it's time to be cutting back on church attendance. I think if anything, we need to increase church attendance. But listen, hey, Mom, Dad, I know that there's times. Hey, I got up this morning. I heard the same wind whistling outside my house that you heard. You don't think the carnal part of Jerry Roth didn't want to say, oh, my goodness, Lord, before I'm fully awake, I'm just asking you one thing. Please, let it be Monday. Just let it be Monday, Lord. Lord, I think it's Sunday, but Lord, could you perform some miracle where maybe it would just be Saturday again? And you know, I mean, listen, the old flesh doesn't hear that. Well, cold wind whistling outside and shaking the siding on the house, and you look over and it's 33 degrees out, and you're thinking, yahoo, all right, I get to go out in this. That's not what the flesh does. Thank God for people. I mean, look around this church, folks. Thank God for people that just decided, you know what, I don't decide whether or not we're going to attend church based on a certain temperature or whether the wind's blowing. You know what? It's a Bible conviction. If the door's open, I'm going to be there. If it's cold, I'm just going to go. If it's hot, I'm just going to go. If it's windy, I'm going to go. If I feel like it, I'm going to go. If I don't feel like it, I'm going to go, because I've settled this thing. You know what? Church attendance is a Bible conviction. Now, folks, listen to me. Moms, dads, one of these days you're going to just take this thing lightly, and you're going to decide certain services aren't important. Hey, a week from tomorrow night, we're kicking off our spiritual warfare conference. Brother Marvin Smith, he said, preacher, I know, you guys are crazy around here. I just started coming here and I noticed you not only go to church Sunday morning, you go Sunday nights. And you go Wednesday nights, and now you're talking about Monday night and Tuesday night? What in the world's going on? Well, why don't you come find out? How many of you, when Brother Smith was here last time and did our spiritual warfare conference, watch this. I want you to be honest about this. You weren't just a little bit helped by that. You were like, wow, preacher, that was amazing. I really was blessed. I really needed that. Let me tell you something, folks. I suspect God might just show up again. And you know what? You don't know what. Now, well, I'll go Monday, but I won't go Tuesday. And I hope God holds back what you really needed till Tuesday night. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to show up. And you know what? I'm going to get what God has for me. I mean, unless I'm providentially hindered, I just can't go. I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to be there, because church attendance is a Bible conviction with me. Number five, I want to have my faith increased. I want to have my faith increased. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, our brother quoted it in Sunday school. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm all for reading the Bible, but the Bible doesn't say in this portion of Scripture that faith cometh by reading and reading by the word of God. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice the context of the verse. I'll read the portion of Scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing what? Hearing the preaching of God's word. Hearing the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that to Christians, preaching ought to be an exciting thing. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm afraid in this day and age where so many's hearts are waxing dull and waxing cold that even to most Christians, preaching has become somewhat of a foolish thing. But Bible says that if you're saved, it ought to be like a display of the power of God in your life. Whether you think you do, you need preaching. whether you know you do or not, if you're saved, you need preaching. And your faith is not going to be increased as it ought to. Remember, we talked on Wednesday night about perfecting our faith. It's not going to happen outside of the pulpit ministry and the preaching of the Word of God. You say, preacher, you got some more verses? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times, listen to this, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our Lord, of God, our Savior. Now, the Bible says this, God has chosen in this time to manifest his word through preaching. I'm going to say this. I said it just recently on a Wednesday night, but I'm going to help you again with it. Our Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this. Now watch this. You can stay home and you can read the Bible every day, and you can say, I'm going to read it for 2 hours a day. And by the way, that's a great goal, and go for it. If you've got the time to do it, I'm all for it. But you still need preaching. And you can read the Bible forever, and there's some things you'll never see and some things God will not open up to you, because the Bible says he chose in this time to manifest his word through preaching. Now, do we need the reading of the Bible? Yes. Will God teach you some things? Yes. But I'm going to tell you what. How many times have I read a chapter and read it? I don't know how many times. Then I walk into a service, plop myself down. Some guy gets up, preaches out of the chapter, and I'm going, how did I miss all of that? I'm just telling you, God manifests his word through preaching. And so I want my faith strengthened. I want my faith increased. And the only way that that's going to happen is if I stay faithful to the preaching of God's word, faithful to the church house. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, despise not prophesying. That's a direct command of God, and yet it may be the sin of the Christians of this generation. Despise means to undervalue. Prophesying there is talking about the proclaiming of God's word. We undervalue in this day and age. We undervalue preaching. God help us. I want to have my faith increased, and if that's going to happen, you know what? We're going to have to park ourselves underneath the preaching of God's word, which means we're going to have to get to the church house. Number 6, I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. Don't miss this. I hope this keeps you awake at night. I hope the next time you sleep on a Sunday morning when you honestly could be here, I hope that God uses this to convict your heart. Please listen to me. I'm here to help you. I really am. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm here to help you. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this, if you're saved, it's true of you. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, here's the last phrase, cannot be hid. Cannot be hid. If you're a Christian, guess what? To this world, you're a light. You're like a city that's set on a hill and you can't be hid. Well, I didn't ask to be an example to anybody. You may not have asked for it, but you are. Okay, people are small town Indiana. Come on, people know everything about you and everything about me. They say, how you doing, Brother Ross? I said, I don't know. Ask my neighbor. He knows more about me than I do. Small town America, all right? Come on now. And my neighbors don't notice if we don't come on Sunday night. Sure they do. Sure they do. Absolutely they do. How do you know? Because before my mom and dad got saved, when we were all little, moved to Brazil, Indiana, across the street from people who invited us to church and talked about being Christians and all that. Guess what my mom and dad would do? Every once in a while, just go over there and peek out the curtain about church. After they'd been invited to church, they wanted to make sure before they accepted the invitation to go to church that maybe the people that actually were inviting them to church went to church. And my dad would go, you know what my dad, listen, as a lost person, you know what my dad didn't have any patience with? A hypocrite. Hypocrite. And you know what? I don't blame him. I don't much care for him either. Jesus didn't care for him at all. Read the Bible. Come on, read your King James Holy Bible. See what Jesus had to say about hypocrites. He didn't have any patience with them at all. Now, the honest truth is I want to be a Christian. You want to be a Christian when it counts. You want to be a Christian if the rapture happens. You want to be a Christian if you get killed on the way home. Come on now. But that's when you want to be a Christian. You don't want to have to be a Christian every day where the rubber meets the road. Now, you're either saved or you're lost. Okay, and if you're saved, you're a light. Your light may be under a bushel, but you're a light. It's a city that's set on a hill, and guess what? It can't be hid. Now listen, lost people are watching me, and lost people are watching you. And I think about my mom and dad going over and peeking out the curtain, and I think about my mom and dad, watch this, eventually accepting an invitation by that couple to go to a little Baptist church. And I think about my daddy dropping his songbook in the middle of an invitation the last night of a revival meeting, going forward, kneeling down, getting saved. And that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened if our neighbors did not go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I know my dad well enough. You know what he'd have did? He'd have said, yeah, this track they gave me. Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Look who's over there, out there mowing their yard. Yeah, right. That'd have been the end of it. Now listen, watch it. Young people, watch this. Some of you that's got the plan when you get older, you're saved and you're going to not completely forsake the church thing, but you're going to kind of just half do it. You're going to send a lot of people to hell is what you're going to do. You're going to send a lot of people to hell. Yeah, you want enough Jesus to make sure you get in the gate. Well, you know what? You don't get to do it that way. Okay? You want to half do this? You know what you're going to do? A lot of people are going to look at you and go, yeah, right, okay. Yeah, one of those Christian people, yeah. All right, now watch this, folks. We have a responsibility to set the right example and a Christian testimony in front of lost people. So, hey, here's something. Come on, I'm going to help some of you if you'll let me. I moved down here to this area, get a job at a sawmill. I'm working at a sawmill, and I'm working on this guy trying to get him to church. He's lost as he can be. I'm trying to get him to church. So I invite him several times. He don't say a whole lot, kind of looks at me and say a whole lot. Finally, I come down. I said, man, let's go out to lunch. Let's go. What are you doing for lunch? Let's go out to lunch together. And I got to give him the hard sell. I said, man, why? Listen, I want you to come to church with me sometime. He said, I got your track. It's Baptist church, right? Watch this. Baptist church, right? Yeah. He said, you know where I live over here, such and such? Yeah. You know what's across the street from me? Yeah. Yeah, Baptist church. You know whose house lives catty corner from the church? No. The head deacon. Really? Head deacon? Yeah. And I said, what's this got to do with you coming to church with me? He said, I don't know a whole lot about this stuff, this Christianity stuff, but could you explain to me why I would ever want to go to a church? Baptist, they're Baptist, I guess you're Baptist. Why would I want to go to church where the deacon's wife is out there on the lawnmower during the summertime in a bikini top mowing the grass? Guess what? I couldn't get that guy to church. Oh, well, it don't matter. It don't matter this. It don't matter that. It matters. You hear what I'm saying? It matters. Brother, isn't the tavern send people to hell? It's backslidden Christians sending people to hell. I know the tavern's got their part of the responsibility, but I'm going to tell you something. You got to now listen, preacher, I can't be perfect. The world will not insist that they see perfection, but they will insist that they see consistency. All right, they'll cut you slack on the perfection thing, but they will not cut you slack on being consistent. And if you're going to stand up and open your mouth and say, you know what, I'm a Christian and I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and then your life outside of the walls of this church is ashamed in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to stand one day at the throne of God with the blood of the lost on your hands. It's important that we live the life of a Christian if we're going to claim to be a Christian. I helped you. I did. I helped you. Let me give you the last thought and then we'll close it up. Number one, I want to be obedient to God. Number two, I want to encourage the brother. Number three, I want to be like Jesus. Number four, I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. Number five, I want to have my faith increased. Number six, I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. Let me give you this last thought, this good thought. Number seven, I want God to know He can count on me. I want God to know He can count on me. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. But a faithful man who can find. Can you be counted upon to be faithful? Can God count on you? Can your pastor count on you? Theodore Roosevelt had a fixed habit of church attendance. This continued through his presidency. The pastor of his church always received a letter or a phone message from the President of the United States when he expected to be out of town explaining his absence to the preacher. I got a call from Betty Townsley the other day, and she said, "Is this Sister Betty Townsley all right?" And she said to me, "Bob wanted me to call you. He's sick, and he won't be on church this last Wednesday night, and he wanted you to know that he's sick, and that's why he won't be there." Maybe there's a reason that this couple has been steadfast and an example to every young person that's willing to take a look and see their life. Let me tell you something. You know what? To him, church attendance is a conviction. And if he's not there, he wants his pastor to know why he's not there. How's that to compare? Come on, I love all of you the same. I love all of you the same. That's why I'm trying to help you. How's that compare some of you that have your name on the membership roll still here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and yet you blow in and out of here like a tumbleweed? I don't know from service to service whether or not you'd be here. If there's something that needs done on a Wednesday night, and I'm looking down through the church directory, there's some of you that I don't even know. I mean, it's a coin flip whether you'd even be here, let alone be here so that I could ask your help in something. So you're so unreliable. Watch this. You're so unreliable that you become unusable. You're so unreliable that you... I don't know why pastor doesn't ever ask me to do this or do that. Because I don't even know when you're going to be here. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. Amen. Brother Nathan, I don't want to be that guy. Amen. I want to be near the top of the list. As far as somebody that the pastor knows, hey, you know what? If I got something to do, not only will that guy be here, but he will be here with a servant's heart and a willing spirit. And he'll be the first one to say, "Preacher, why didn't you ask me?" If I ask somebody else, he's going to be upset. Listen, those people with those attitudes, you know what? They rise to the top and they're used the most. You know why? Because they are here faithful, they are available, and they're excited to serve the Lord. "Well, I'm here all the time. Why don't you ever ask me?" Because when I do, you act like I've asked you to give your life for God or something. You get a martyr's attitude. "Well, I don't know." "Well, I guess we can't. I'm probably not asking you after that." If I got a chance to call a church member that's going to say, "Oh, yes, preacher, you're going to let, would you let me do that? Oh, you know we would love to do that." Or I get a call and get this, "I don't know. I'll tell you what, we'll pray about it. How about that? We'll pray about it. We'll get back with you." Maybe I prayed about it before I called you. Come on now. I don't know. I don't know. You got to choose what kind of Christian. Hey, listen. You know what? I got to make my choice. You got to make your choice. God's put us all that. I mean, we all got a free will. We all got to decide how we're going to live this thing out. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to be faithful. I may not be as talented as somebody else, but I can be faithful. You know what? I may not be as gifted as somebody else, but I can be there. And what I found out is if I just hang around and make myself always available to God and always available to people around me, you know what I find out? God sure gives me a lot of opportunities to serve him. Is church attendance in your life based on convenience? "Hey, I'm going to see you Sunday." Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. In other words, if everything falls into perfect place and it works out, I'll be there. Or is it, "Lord willing, I'll be there." And you know what? Lord willing, you will be there. What is church attendance in your life? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, your blessing upon the preaching of your word. And I thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I thank you for every Bible preaching church, dear God. I thank you for the church I got saved in. I thank you for the churches that I attended as a young Christian, got discipled in. I thank you for the church that I got to attend when I was being trained for the ministry. But Lord, there's something special about this place. And dear God, for those of us, Lord, that call this place our church home, and these fine folks our church family, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to develop something down in the depths of our soul, down in the depths of our heart. Just say, "You know what? I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to obey my God. I'm going to fulfill the responsibilities of a Christian. I want to do this. If I'm going to do this thing, I want to do it right." Help us to make church attendance a Bible conviction. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me say this to each and every one of you. I didn't preach a salvation message this morning. But one of the best things that happened to my family when we first started attending church was to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church is where we learned how to be saved. Church is where we learned that we were sinners. Church is where we learned that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. Church is the place where we found out from the Bible that we were on our way to a devil's hell. But church is also where we found out that God, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today without Jesus as your Savior, you're in a good place. You're in a place where people love you and people have been praying for you. Wednesday night, I knelt right over here at the altar during our prayer time and I prayed for you. You said, "Preacher, you didn't even know I was coming." I prayed that God would bring people into our church that were lost. I know what it's like to walk into a church house and be lost. I know what it is to sit out there trying to figure out what the preacher's even talking about. I know what it's like to allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to work in my heart and soften my heart, and all the pieces start coming together and conviction begins to fall. I know what it's like to quietly tremble when the preacher preached on hell and wish and long when he preached on heaven. And I thank God that I know what it's like, and I got the memory of stepping out of my pew and walking down an aisle, put my hand in the preacher's hand and saying, "I want to be saved. I want what you're preaching about." Listen, if you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that same God who adopted me into his family and made me his child that day, you know what? He wants to do the same for you. And so in a moment, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to have, not yet, but we're in a moment going to have the piano begin to play, and we're going to invite people that like to be saved to come forward. We have two men here at the front, and they can get somebody to take the Bible and very carefully, thoroughly explain to you how you can become a child of God, how you can be born again. During this invitation time, Christians who need to do business with God, whom God has spoke to their heart, they'll be at the altar with you. And so allow God to do a work of grace in your heart. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, please, dear Lord, we ask God your blessing upon this invitation time. Use it according to your will, in Jesus' name.